House Committee on Judiciary come to order. Today is February 15th. Ms. Perez? February 19th. Posted on the 15th.
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. And today, all we have on the agenda is an informational meeting from Susan Isaacs, the Executive Director for the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability, here to discuss their proposed key performance measures.
Yes, thank you. On behalf of Judy Parker, the chair, and Judge Jim Egan, I want to apologize. Judy Parker has a dental emergency, and Judge Egan had a family funeral.
That's fine.
Okay, so.
Identify yourself for the record when you.
Certainly.
And you got to remember, too, you're not in the court of law, you know, you're not in front of justices or anything like that. Just kind of relax.
Thank you. I'm Susan Isaacs. I'm the Executive Director of the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability, and this is a staff member of mine. Her name is Megan Rogers Zarnacki, but she's going to be running the PowerPoint.
That's good.
So we have submitted to you some proposals for modification of our key performance measures. This is something that the commission reviewed and has presented. You will see that we currently have, first of all, here's our mission statement and our authority. The number of individuals over which we have authority is relatively small. We used to have authority over municipal court judges, but then the Supreme Court in 2003 said, no, you don't. So that reduced the number considerably. So I'd say it's between probably 250 when you add in all of the pro tem judges, the senior judges who sit, you know, after they have retired and whatnot. This is our service commitment. The commission directly voted for me to put this in front of you so that you recognize that we strive for diversity in all areas through our geography, our demographics, and whatnot. Now, this we'll go through next is the current key performance measures. This is one that we would ask that we keep. And part of this, of course, is that we want the commission recommendations that go to the Supreme Court. As you may or may not know, only the Supreme Court can discipline a judge. The commission has no authority to actually impose discipline. If there's a hearing, then the commission makes the record, and then they render their decision, and then everything goes to the Oregon Supreme Court, and they read the entire record and make their own decision. There is oral argument and briefing in the Supreme Court. Another way that things are resolved is if the judge and the commission have agreed stipulated facts and stipulation to the rules that have been violated, and then also a stipulation to a sanction, because there's a statutory provision for the commission and the judges to resolve cases in that manner. And if that agreement goes up, then it can be resolved in that manner. So we are asking that this remain because, of course, the case law is what guides us along the commission, along with the rules, the code of judicial conduct and whatnot. So we feel that this one remains very valid. Now, this one is the same goal is to be sure that the
Can I just ask a really quick question? As we go through these, I would be really curious from you. With your first KPM.
Yes.
What is your current percentage on that right now?
Our current percentage, at least from the time that I've been there, and with the caveat that we do not have that many hearings, is 100%.
And how many actual cases do you present then?
We had two in 2015, which was a big year for hearings. In the past, if we had one every 5 years maybe. Sometimes there's hearings and they resolve when we get right, when we get there, the judge will agree to resign. So during the time that I've done this since 2000, my estimate would be maybe 10 actual hearings because of the other options that we have. Resignation, stipulations.
And can I just ask?
Yeah.
So how do you determine then what the lack of consistency would be with the, what the Supreme Court would find from what your recommendation would be?
Well, I can tell you about a case in which I was involved as a lawyer, and that was in the late 90s. I believe what happened is the commission recommended that the judge receive a censure. You know, we have dismissal, censure, suspension, and removal. And the suspension is usually capped at 6 months. That's kind of anecdotal, but that's what I'm told. So the commission went for a censure, and the court suspended the judge for 6 months. So that was sort of interesting. Of course, I just was a lawyer for that one case, but now that I have more information about this, so I do feel that there's case law on various transgressions, and there's explanations within the case law, and then there's analysis of the sanctions. Now, the analysis on the sanctions has been an interesting area because I have participated in national conferences, and I've heard of case law from them that set out for them that what they were looking for. And of course, you know, that's always something that, what's a criteria? What are we looking for? And so we've kind of used those types of analysis as well. And the court has given us some of that analysis as well. So, you know, what is the court looking for in judicial cases? Was it a one-time offense? That sort of thing.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Please continue.
Oh, thank you. So this one, we feel that the goal, of course, is to be sure that the court, and I mean that we are consistent with the court, and so we feel like it's perhaps part of number one, although not necessarily, but we just don't want to measure the same thing twice. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're moving to incorporate that in number one. So that's one of our requests. Now, the this again is where we have the stipulated agreements, and again, it's our goal is to be sure that we're consistent with what the court does in its case law, and because they set the standards. And so if our agreements are unchanged and approved, then we know that we're on the right track. And we've hit 100% on this. Although, again, there's not that many. This is a critical piece that we put together when we were putting together the original key performance measures, because the commission only has control over its part, and so that you see that the time that we put on it is that until we send it to the court. So we don't have any control. We can only have control over, we get the complaint, we do the investigation, we have the hearing, the decision, and we send it to the court. So our goal has been 2 years, but we've been within this. This big case that we had in 2015, we were within the 2 years. And it was like a 2-week trial. So we're very proud of being able to meet that, although again, a 2-week trial was an anomaly. Now, this is the one where we are asking that you eliminate this. This has been an area that we've had difficulty coming up with the right manner of analysis. When we began with the key performance measures. Everybody had a customer service survey done through DAS, and it was very helpful. They put it together. They helped me hone in on the questions and this sort of stuff. We put it out on the bar's website. We disseminated it to all the judges, and we sent it out to people that were complaining at the time. And then it went in for statistical analysis with someone who does that. And unfortunately, it gave us nothing to assist us in making any kind of improvements because of the spread on the answer sheet. And so I've been struggling with a replacement since then. When we went through the time, I mean, I've done this since 2000, when we went through the time frame when the money was really, really tight and everybody had all these reduction areas, that was something that we felt that we just couldn't justify. Well, it wasn't a conscious decision. It was more like, this costs money, you know, because we went to DAS and it costs money and they deserve their money. They did a great job. But we needed to find something that would assist us in meaningful data to help the commission measure what it does as is intended. So I've talked to the commission. I've reached out myself. We've gone to other agencies, looked at what they've done. Part of the problem is I've gone internally in the state of Oregon, and there's nobody really like us. You know, we have the statutory confidentiality, so we don't have a lot of people interfacing with us that they go out and talk to people, except the unhappy people that come to us. You know, they're in a crisis, they call right away, they want help, then they send stuff, and it's not necessarily something that we can do anything about because they're really unhappy with the outcome. And so we, looking at, say, for example, the Ethics Commission, the state one, they, you know, do training of local government officials and legislators, and that's just a different type of body than what we have, which are people complaining and judges who are very unhappy to get a letter from us. And so then we went to the Oregon Advocacy Commission to see what they do. And they basically monitor through each commission as stakeholders. And I don't think that's really what is it you have in mind, that I just go to my members and ask them how I'm doing. Because you don't want to measure me. You want to measure the commission. So what I've been thinking about this time, and I mean, not just me. I take input from all kinds of people. There's a national organization that I belong to, Judicial Disciplinary Council. Unfortunately, we've not financially been able to have me go for several years, but I am a member, and I could go to them, to that management board, or another entity, which is a judicial, they disseminate all kinds of case law, and we do pay for that, but it's educational for all of us, and ask them, do they have key performance measures, some sort of management model, like this is that they use to access information and maybe get some ideas from them, although the big caveat is we got a printout of the way that every single one of them is organized, and oh my gosh, every single one is different. It's absolutely amazing. But I think it might be a closer model because I'm sure they have the same issues we do of, you know, unhappy people in crisis. So that's kind of where we're going now. If you feel that this is something that we should truly be spending our limited resources on, we just feel that so far, all efforts to find something that will get us where you want to go, which is some sort of meaningful data to measure the commission. So obviously, you may have some ideas.
So this is okay. Good discussion here. I don't know if anybody else is enjoying this or not. Who's your customer?
That was the question.
Yeah.
That was exactly the question. So we feel that because what the commission does is be sure that the judges are acting ethically, that they are complying with the Code of Judicial Conduct. So, of course, the public, the general public, is our customer. And then we have people who actually complain, you know, mostly members of the public. Very rarely do we get, you know, attorneys or whatever, but the complainants, so that's sort of a subset of the public. All attorneys, I think, are customers as well, because certainly having ethical judges, those that comply and do their job, that's something that attorneys want, particularly if you're in litigation. And judges want to be sure that all of their colleagues are also above board. So we have a huge customer base, but only a very limited number of those customers actually has any interaction with the commission. And that's what we learned with this survey. Attorneys would reply, judges would reply, and they'd say, yes, we're really glad you're there. It's a job that needs to be done. But I personally have not had any contact with it, so I can't really rate, you know, on the expertise, the timeliness, the courtesy, that kind of thing. So it's been a puzzle.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yes, I'm sorry, Representative Bile, please.
So I noticed in the budget, Susan, that we had $441,000 back in the 2015-2017 biennium, and we're looking at the legislatively adopted budget for 17 to 19 of 245. So not quite cut in half, but are there problems that you see on the horizon as a result of our funding levels of the commission?
The funding that you talked about up in the 400s was due to the cost of the extensive litigation that we
cases that you
right
had.
The one case was like a one day, and that was over fairly easily, you know, fairly quickly. The other case is still in front of the Supreme Court,
and day's case.
Exactly, and that it started in August of 2014. We had to hire investigators and lawyers. You know, we were really fortunate because I've managed to ask lawyers who make $350, $400 an hour to represent the commission for $100 an hour. So it's at a discount. But it added up because there was significant depositions and lots of trial and, 2 weeks of trial. And then there was the briefing and then filings in the court. All justifiable. I mean, I say justifiable because everybody deserves a vigorous defense. And so we would respond. So we've had to come back to the emergency board a couple times to get more money. So that's an anomaly. And so right now, knock on wood, we just had a meeting Friday, and we don't have any big expensive things on the horizon, if that's what you're asking me right now.
That's essentially what I've asked.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so the best practices we went through, I scoured other agencies for their best practices because, of course, it's something that is kind of agency specific, although some things are quite part of the norm, like performance measures and keep track of the budget and those types of things. So we reviewed those at our December meeting, and we went. These are the ones that we came up with. So, you can keep going. Yeah. So some of these are, we have a meeting, and we have the budget, you know, materials, and the commission members interact with me all throughout the years. Then that is something that I got a format for the performance, you know, annual performance from a from an attorney who worked in a management position at the hospital, OHSU. So, you know, a lot of people give me ideas. I don't have to figure it out on my own. We've had awesome, awesome members that have helped. So these are the ones, though, that we're proposing be adopted. And then obviously, if there's deletions or additions, we would consider them. So now we go to the reasons why we have asked to eliminate current number 2 and current number 5. And I think I've gone through those pretty much extensively, unless there's any more questions on that. So then we go to we're recommending two new ones. And this one would be percentage of new complaints received between meetings included on the next meeting agenda. So we get complaints in over time. We have 6 meetings per year. I send out the agenda 10 days before the meeting so that you know, the members have ample opportunity to review what's coming up at the meeting. So it would be between those times, you know, because we have to have that leeway. Now, I would say that we will generally hit 100%, because this is where I do my legal work, you know, my analysis, my investigation. I love e-courts. E-courts is an incredible tool. I get a lot of extra help understanding what people are really trying to tell me, and hopefully we can dispose of the complaints just with one hearing, because I can gather enough information through e-courts. So I try to keep up on this. So I would anticipate that would be 100%.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you give an estimate of how many complaints you receive in a year's time?
That's a good question. We average between 20 new complaints and 40 new complaints per agenda.
Okay. And you meet 6 times a year? So
we meet 6 times a year. That's the new complaints. And then we get reconsiderations. The last agenda we just did on Friday had 20 new complaints, 6 reconsiderations, because the complaints had been considered and dismissed. And then we had 5 pending matters. The number that we get that actually get on the agenda, though, is very small compared to the number of inquiries. The complaint packet request, it could run to probably 200, 250, but it's a big stack that I keep track of who we sent them to and when, for, you know, timeliness and that sort of thing, but also because at the end of the year I have a number. And it's interesting because we get them through complaint packets, but some people get a complaint packet and they never send it back. We get it through email, letters, so we get them from all kinds of places. And I have no discretion. I am a lawyer, and I certainly know the difference between an ethics issue and a legal issue, but I have no discretion. Everything goes to the commission, because that's their job, not my job. So so it's not like they're whittled away in that fashion.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So that would be, it's a proposal. All right. And then one of the ways that the commission is able to resolve complaints is through informal disposition letters. Those are part of our rules of procedure. Those are not public. They are confidential. And basically, they would be issued in a situation where a full hearing would not be, they would not merit a full hearing, you know, with all of the time and money and whatever is spent. So we would just let the judge know that their conduct fell below the standards of expected, and in the, you know, in the following particulars, and here's the rule violation, and this concludes the matter. But basically, it's like a warning, you know. And a lot of times, people just aren't thinking. You know, they didn't look at the code when something happened, you know, as opposed to nothing malicious, but. So we do send out quite a few of those, though. We do, we have this opportunity to resolve, and I think that that is beneficial to everybody because it cuts down on expense and distress.
So, Susan, just really quick, what is a timely manner?
Well, that's a good question, and for me, a timely manner is between the meetings.
Between what?
The meetings. You know, just like, you know, I put everything on. But I put together the agenda, and so I have control over what I do. But I don't have control over, you know, whoever needs to sign the, review the letter and sign the letter. So I don't sign the informal disposition letters. It's a member of the commission. So I sort of felt like I didn't want to have something that I didn't have control over. So.
Do you ever receive follow-up? Do you ever receive any complaints from those who were waiting in a timely manner to receive your response?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, what, didn't you have this on the last agenda? Uh-huh. Yes, yes, and we are putting together a letter to you.
Well, so I guess where I'm wanting to go with that is, why not identify a specific timetable?
I suppose that I could make sure that the commission members abide by it, but I was abiding by the part I could do. I'm not casting aspersions on anybody, but, you know, I am very fortunate. I have 9 volunteers who do exceptional work and take a lot of time out of their daily lives and their work lives and read, you know, 2,000 pages of an agenda. You know, we may have look like small numbers, but the amount of paper people send or whatever, to the point where sometimes I have to, you know, we don't need conspiracy theory, those kinds of things. So, but basically, that was why. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with it being within, you know, between the meetings myself, and I could certainly hit on that hard, but.
Yeah, because, you know, Mr. Chair, I'm just thinking, if you're wanting to talk about a good measurement, that's a great measurement.
Okay.
To do something like that along that line.
We could change that.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair. I kind of had hoped that you had something in your proposed measures to sort of deal with your customer satisfaction issue, because while I understand that this doesn't work for you, I understand certainly customers are, you know, they sort of are limited to those ones who have interaction in some way. I guess I'm concerned, though, that we have a standard for all agencies to have this as a key performance measure. What would we do differently? How could we modify that in some way for judicial fitness to actually meet the needs of the situation? So something, I'm hoping that we can come up with something that would fit better.
That's been a struggle. And the commission's wrestled with it, and I've, like I said, reached out to Oregon agencies and feel that probably the best bet, if this is something that we need to continue to do, which I recognize the merit of it. I'm just saying we've struggled to find the right way to actually measure something, but to go to all the states and see if they have this kind of requirement, and how do they measure, and how do they ask the question, and stuff like that. That's the only thing that, to date, that I've been able to come up with, and with my, you know, the commission talks about it. I mean, you know, we usually do the complaints, you know, that's really where their business is, but their business of fulfilling these legislative mandates are really important too. So we do have discussions. We just haven't come up with a way to do it that's meaningful, that gets the data that tells you something. I mean, this I could certainly do, but you know what this measures? This measures me, you know?
Right.
So that's definitely a area. And I'll probably see you at the next committee, and I'm not sure who makes the decision, but you'll get double votes. So we certainly could say, you know, between the meetings, that sort of thing. Is that it? Oh, that's it. The end. Do you have any questions? Anybody?
Questions? Well, thank you for the presentation.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah.
And if I get feedback, will it come from the council?
Yeah, well, we will talk to the vice chairs, and we'll talk about it. Representative Wentz is here today.
But appreciate it.
You know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, committee, and we all have to be back at the caucus here in a few minutes, and we'll stand adjourned.
Thank you.